It's important to understand that sentiment in the 18th century doesn't mean the kind of sentimentality, the exaggerated feeling that we mean when we talk about something being sentimental today. One of the things that readers found in novels, or they found it in other kinds of writing as well, was that novels, with the situations they presented readers with, let's say Pamela in distress, or the terrible situation in which Richardson's Clarissa finds herself when she's threatened with rape and eventually raped, that these episodes provoked very strong feeling in their readers. And the 18th century idea of sentiment and sensibility was, in fact, to cultivate those kinds of feelings, to be able to respond more precisely and more delicately to the situations of other people. If you could respond in an appropriate way, it was a kind of index that your own moral sentiments were appropriate. And beyond that, it might also lead you to behave in real life in a more feeling way. In other words, literature could fulfill its traditional function of being a form of moral teaching, something from which you could learn. It would not just entertain you, but also instruct you. But instruct you in the cultivation of feeling. And certainly Sterne became highly admired for this. And there's a paradox there, because Tristram Shandy is a very bawdy book. It's a huge amount of indecent material in there, of episodes that really shocked contemporary readers, that made many readers think this was not a book they would want to read, certainly not a book they would want their wives or servants to read, and were very shocked by it. But alongside that lay some of the most celebrated sentimental episodes in 18th century literature, where readers were invited to stop laughing, perhaps not entirely, but at least reflect on what it was they were reading. A very simple example comes up in the first installment of Tristram Shandy, where we have a description of the Parson Yorick. Now, the Parson Yorick is a part self-portrait by Sterne, a partly autobiographical rendering of himself, this rural parson. But this parson dies. Parson Yorick dies. And because it's a comic novel, we have those very famous words, "Alas, poor Yorick." And they're printed on the page, and the reader reads them. But the next two pages of the book, the next leaf of the book, is simple black ink. And I think what Sterne is doing there is to prompt the reader to a sentimental response, because there's no rational response, arguably, that you can make to the black, plain black print. But of course, Yorick also makes you think of Hamlet, and of course, Hamlet then makes you think of one of the great soliloquies, one of the great reflections in English, possibly the best known soliloquy in the whole language, to be or not to be, and to Hamlet's reference to that undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveller returns, death. What can you say in the face of death? So Sterne thinks about that kind of issue, but then encourages his reader to respond by feeling the inability to say anything meaningful about death, because none of us can know exactly what it is. But then another episode, which is a kind of sentimental episode, and indeed was much admired by some readers in the 18th century, though others thought it toppled over into bathos, is the episode of Uncle Toby and the Fly. Uncle Toby, a great sentimentalist, a military character, somebody who loves military life but was wounded at the siege of Namur in the 1690s and had to leave the army. But as well as being this man with a great interest in military affairs, in sieges and so on, he's also very tender-hearted. And on one occasion, he's eating his dinner and a fly is buzzing all the way around him and won't leave him alone. And instead of swatting the fly, as most of us would do, Toby thinks about it and addresses the fly, and this clearly is the comic part of it. "I'll not hurt a hair of thy head," he says, and he opens the window, and as the fly leaves, Uncle Toby says, "Go, poor devil, get thee gone. Why should I hurt thee? This world surely is wide enough to hold both thee and me." Now you can see that, of course, as largely parodic, because the sentiment goes beyond what one might expect, because what we're talking about is a fly. But underneath that ability to feel for other creatures as well as for other human beings lies both changing attitudes towards the rest of the animal kingdom, which is certainly a feature of life in the 18th century, sort of thing that's represented by Hogarth in his series The Four Stages of Cruelty, for instance, but also part of a more general tolerance. And Laurence Sterne, certainly within his own church, the Church of England, for instance, belonged to the wing that urged tolerance and toleration of others' beliefs. And so sentimentalism, sensibility, covers a very wide spectrum of ideas in the 18th century. And despite the comic elements of the book, the bawdy of the book, which were too much for 18th century readers, or at least some of them, and certainly for the Victorians, Sterne was always admired for his sentiment.